This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
What is TWS podcast episode, whatever? Who cares at this point?
Bar.
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast. I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rich. All right, we're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
I'm ready.
I'm
staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
I don't give a fuck what. Y'all save my shit. And I don't give a fuck what. You can save your shit. Y'all niggas like extra skin on my dick. Listen to Bob Marley. Y'all
funny shit.
Niggas like Steve Harvey. Frontin' live with a weak army. I play the nice guy, true, and he can smoke with you. But the realness, I ain't got no love for you. That's why I never do a song with you. Not even if your baby mom's fucked the crew and promised to give us head and swallow it too.
I said, oh shit!
No, no, it's no, no can't.
Hey, the raid, something my flow. Yeah. Motherfucking thug shit, right? Anyway, man, I had to, for my money, those are like two of the evilest disses of all time, like, and like directed at nobody. Maybe it was somebody who was directed at, but to say y'all niggas like extra skin on my dick, like, that's gross. And I don't even know how you think of that. And then to take it a step further and say I never do a song with you, not even if your baby moms fuck the crew and promise to give us head and she swallow it too, I still say no. That's a diss. That hurts. That gotta hurt. I gotta hurt. Anyway, welcome to the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy J.Dot Flam, representing the White Pants Society. And I gotta start out by thanking you first and foremost for taking whatever time out of your day to listen to these ramblings. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I do greatly, greatly appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. I really, really do. Anyway, I chose that one because I've been looking up since we did like the last 2 weeks of like album anniversaries and stuff like that. I just decided to look up like, like this week in hip hop or whatever. And it's been a crazy like historical week in hip hop. I won't say crazy, but it's been some big birthdays. I think Royce had a birthday this past week. Inspector Deck had a birthday this past week. I also think this week celebrated the anniversary of like some classic hip hop albums. I think Rakim and Eric B had an album dropped this week a long time ago. But Noriega's album, NORE, dropped, I think, July 7th. And it's important. It's a big deal for me because I don't know, it was a big album for me at the time. I was definitely a 90s East Coast hip hop, kind of dude. And that song there, Baron from TV, he left a lot of room at the end. And even in my like amateurish Windows 95, whatever kind of way, I figured out how to like use the sound recorder and like plug up a tape recorder to it. And I made a loop or whatever out of the end of that beat. And then like that was like one of the first beats I ever rapped over. And it was a big deal. It's back when I used to have this group. I forget what we called ourselves, but it was me and my homie in high school named Chicken Wing. Shouts to Chicken Wing. And we had this whole idea. We was going to start a record label. It was going to be Sunshine Records. We was rapping and stuff. And it was one of the first, like, I used to just sit with the sound recorder and my tape recorder and just be, it took hours to like get a usable loop out of stuff that way. Cause I had no idea what I was doing, but I got it done. And then, so the album and Nori is big for me for that reason. And then also, Noriega and just what he's doing now, well, with Drink Champs and stuff. Like, Drink Champs was definitely one of the podcasts that got me wanting to podcast. I love that show. We tried to do our version of Drink. It was like a spin on Drink Champs and Hot Ones. We had a guest on back when I had a co-host. We had a guest on, and during the conversation we were like taking shots. We went to this juice spot that sold juices with like jalapenos and habaneros and stuff in it, and we got a whole bunch of juices and like shots of these spicy juices, and we was like having an interview and taking shots of habanero juice at the same time. I don't know. It was corny and it didn't really work. But shout out to Ness, the guest that day. I do appreciate him for coming on. Content wise, it was a dope episode. Execution wise, in terms of the idea, no, not so much. But yeah, Drink Champs, Nori, that album, big inspirations for me. So figured I'd start the episode with that. I also think it's dope how like Nori has embraced this sort of hip hop's Uncle Buck sort of image, you know, that he's just become that like just quirky uncle that don't know no better and says whatever and is inappropriate because he don't realize it's inappropriate. I don't know. It's very endearing. I had the uncle that I mentioned last week, the Don't Thank Me, Thank God. And that shirt is coming. I finished the graphic. I just got to like create the shirt. But yeah, the uncle that used to have that saying, my Uncle Clinton, I miss him. I used to think of him as like the black Uncle Buck. Like he was just from a different era. He smoked cigars. I don't think he ever took the keys out of his car. Like we would just go to the grocery store and he'd like just never turn the ignition off. Wherever we were at, he would just go in with the car running and we'd come back out and get in the car and just keep moving. He did that in South Carolina. And I think people were trying to tell him, you can't do that in D.C. I don't know if he ever did, but yeah, you know, shouts to Uncle Clinton. He was the original like black Uncle Buck to me. And so it's kind of cool to see Nori in that space. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. I'm going to keep it in music for a minute, though, especially since I made a whole episode last week about like how folks' opinion on music is irrelevant. I figured, you know, why not be irrelevant this week? I've been checking out a couple of things. I'm trying to stay like, I don't know, hip, whatever, you know. And so Drake got a verse on his new Brent Fires. Is that his name? Fire. Is that how you say it? Is it Brent Fires album? But anyway, Drake got a verse on that new Brent Fires album. And I don't even know the name of the song, but it pissed me off. It pisses me off. Like, it really upset me because it is just, like, further proof that, like, Drake is clearly, like, one of the greatest rappers of all time. Like I almost hate, you know, like, giving him that praise, but he is. Every time he raps, like, every time he puts his energy into rapping, like, it's just incredible. He's got a skill level that's there's not too many cats that can match. I'm not going to say it's unmatched, because I do think there's some people up there with him, but it just makes me mad that, like, he don't want to rap, or he's just reluctant to rap. Maybe he don't want to get pigeonholed as a rapper, but you one of the greatest at it. Like, there are not many people better than you ever at the thing, and you just, but you don't want to be known as, I guess, being only that thing. I yearn for that's a bad word, but that sounds, I feel like I should say pause, but I really want like a Drake album. It's just bars, like just rap, my nigga, just one time, like just before I die, like just, can you do that for me? Like, I don't know, man. I don't know. Speaking of one time before I die, shouts to Rhapsody. I haven't mentioned her in a minute, and it has been like almost 600 days since I made my plea, you know, that I would just like to just meet her, talk to her. Not even, we don't even have to meet. I just would love to speak to Rhapsody one time. I think she's super dope. And I'm just gonna put that out there again. My Rhapsody journal. It's been 580 days to be exact, and still no word. It's okay. I found ways to pull through. I still always had the music to remember you by. But one day it'll happen. One day I believe it. Man. And then yeah, I guess, you know, staying down this music thing. Like so I put the episode out last week, and I mentioned the review of the Firm album. And, you know, one of the responses I got back was just like, reminded me that shows how old I am. Like I'm old. And I do this a lot. Like, so if I ever make it to a point where like I'm being interviewed or people want to talk to me for some reason, know I'm prepared. Cause I'm always doing like these fake interviews in my head. It's horrible. It's narcissistic, but whatever. And so like I'll ask myself questions like Because I had a young person the other day that I think he was 28, and he was trying to get me to donate for something. So maybe that's why he said what he said. But he was like, I'm 28. You look kind of young. How old are you? And I was like, way older than you, bro. Way older than you. And he didn't believe me when I told him my age. And so I was thinking the other day, like, what is something I could tell someone that dates me, that like ages me, that shows you exactly, you know, it's proof that I am as old as I say I am. And I thought, like, man, like, I remember when MC Hammer had a Saturday morning cartoon. Like, I think that shows you just about how old I am. Like, I was a person that watched Saturday morning cartoons at the time that MC Hammer had a Saturday morning cartoon, Hammer Man. I remember that. And then I thought that I'm so old that there are a lot of people who have no idea who MC Hammer is or what Saturday morning cartoons are. Both of those things, like, no longer exist. Like, MC Hammer's alive, I believe. Pretty sure. But, like, he's been so out of so out of pop culture for so long that it's probably a large group of people who have no idea who MC Hammer is. And I can't remember when Saturday morning cartoons was a thing. Now you got channels that play cartoons all day, every day. You don't have to wait to Saturday to see cartoons. Like, they'll never understand the struggle. Anyway, one more thing, though, before we hit the meat and potatoes of the episode. I do want to shout out. I want to send a shout out to my homie Robert. I ain't going to use your last name. We're going to put people out there. But I just want to let you know, man, I got your message. And I can't tell you, like, how much I appreciate it. Like, how much those messages mean to me. To know that somebody listens to the show and that, like, topics resonate with them. And they're interested in what I'm going to do next. Or they're interested in hearing an idea that I said I had, like, I snow bullshit every week. There's usually like a moment where it's like, man, why am I still doing this? Why did I just spend all this money on this new mixer? Why, you know, goddamn neon light keeps me up at night. And I'm like, why did I buy a neon light? Like, what am I doing all this for? And then, you know, just your messages like that to know that somebody's listening and know that the show matters to somebody. Means a lot. So I appreciate you, bro. I love you, man. And I got your message, and I'm hoping I can execute the idea the way I have it in my head, because I do think it'll be dope and impactful. But, you know, thanks for that. I just wanted to shout you out here. Hopefully you get from my responses to your messages how much I appreciate the messages, but wanted to do it here where I hope you can hear it. You should. Anyway, let's move on. Chef Elise report.
Out of Pepe.
Yes, sir, I am. It's really dope when you realize, like, how much your kids are like you. And Elise is so much like me. So she never liked being on the phone. Like, you know, I guess maybe that's all children. But, we were here in Texas and most of our family is back east. And so people would call. And, you know, when she got to the age where she could talk, we would try to put her on the phone or even like video calls or whatever. And she's just so like not into it. Like, she just doesn't want to talk to you. And she'll be talking all day, talking about you, you know, whatever. And then as soon as it gets to the moment where, like, she can talk to you, but on the phone, it's like, nah, I'm good, whatever. And so, yeah, and so we have our little Alexa connection set up where she can, like, video call me. And for a while, that was a thing. Like, I would get, like, random video calls, you know, from Elise at whatever time. And I always try to make sure I was available to answer them or call her right back or something like that. And we would do that. And we would, you know, she would sit on these video calls with me for extended periods of time, just showing me toys and, telling me what was going on and telling me stories. And I'd just be watching her play. Like, there wasn't even a point to the call, just to spend time with dad, which is very cool. And as she's gotten older, that's worn off. Like, she does not want to talk to me on the phone. If her mom calls for, you know, whatever reason, because something's going on, you can never get Elise on the phone. The video call thing really doesn't happen at all anymore. I think if it does happen, it's probably because her mom, you know, told her, go call your dad, or it's, you know, he need to see what you're doing right now kind of thing. But she does what I do. Like, I'm a texter. You know, I will, if you want to talk to me, you need to text me. You know, if you're going to call me, understand that I'm not going to answer the phone and you need to leave a message. And in that message, you need to be explicit about why you're calling and the need for me to call you back. You know, what communication you're looking for from me. I'm not very much just a talk on the phone kind of person. I don't know. I just don't like it. I don't like it. And Elise doesn't have the ability to text, but she just sends me like voice messages. So through the same little piece of equipment that she could video call me, she will not video call me, but she will send me like a voice message and it'll be about whatever. And this week, apparently she created an ice sculpture and it's a masterpiece. And I'm trying to get pictures of this ice sculpture. I sent her a voice message back when she sent me the message about the ice sculpture. And I was like, man, you know, did you get a picture of it? I got to see it. And she sent me a message back, I think like today or yesterday. And I was like, Dad, I promise you, I'm going to get you a picture. And it's Texas and it's July. So if the picture don't already exist, I'm sure the ice sculpture is gone. Like, but she promised me she's going to get a picture. So maybe she's going to make another one or something, but whatever. But yeah, it's just dope saying that like she don't want to talk to me on the phone. Like, we do not talk like that. And if we're around each other in person, it's nonstop. Like, she never stops talking. So I know she got something to talk about. I know she got a story to tell me or just anything. But that's not her thing. She's going to send me voice messages. We'll just trade voice messages back and forth like text messages. But that's my baby.
Out of Pepe.
Sure is. Also, next week, she goes to Princess Camp. And Bad Dad, like, her mom sent me the information that she told me she was sending her to Princess Camp. And she sent me the information or sent me like the website for the Princess Camp. And I didn't. My only concern was like, how much does it cost? That was it. That's all I wanted to know, was how much money was going to need to be spent on Princess Camp. And I have not looked into it any more than that at all. And I was talking to my sister about it the other day. And then she was like, what is Princess Camp? And that's when it dawned on me. I don't know. I don't know what I'm sending my daughter to. I really have no idea what this Princess Camp is supposed to be. All I know is they having like a recital of some sort on at the end of the week. And I'm going to go to that. I guess I will then find. I could always go to the website right now and find out what Princess Camp is. But who doesn't like a surprise? Like, I'll just hold out. We'll see. I'm going to find out. And then the last thing on the Chef Elise report. And this is like Chef Elise adjacent. It's not quite Chef Elise, but something I've noticed about myself in this fatherhood journey. It's turned me into a punk. Like, it really has. Like, and not even in like just the punk ass dad that, you know, got his daughter wrapped around, you know, her daughter. My daughter has me wrapped around her finger. Not even in that like sense. Like, I just get super emotional about like anything relating to like fathers and they show, especially if it's a daughter. Like, it gets, and I hate it. And I hate it. Like, I don't know where it came from. And it is here now. It's just on me. And it started like the moment, it wasn't even the moment I knew I was having a kid. I think it was the moment that I found out, you know, that she was going to be a girl, that we were having a girl. And all of a sudden, I just became like super sensitive. I can remember going to a movie, you know, with my ex-wife while she was still pregnant, but we knew that Elise was a girl. And I forget, but it's like an Owen Wilson movie, I think. And he's like in another country and he's trying to get, you know, the country's going through some sort of coup or something. He's trying to get his daughters out of the country and just the stuff he has to go through. I think there's a scene where like they need to jump from one rooftop to another and he jumps first. And like, he's trying to convince his daughter that, you know, his dad, like, trust me, I'm going to catch you. I'm not going to let you fall. And man, I was just in the theater it was falling. I couldn't stop it. Like, and so from that point forward, like, anything that has to do, like, fathers and daughters cinematically, it's just like, if you come across a movie and you know it's got like a heartbreaking scene with like a father and a kid, like, just don't wreck. I don't want to see it because I don't feel good about myself in those moments. Like, I'm talking about this because I decided to take myself to a movie. I haven't been to the movies in a minute because when you don't have a car, it's like I'm super cheap and I started running up the money. Like, you know, I got to pay for the ticket. I got to pay for Uber there. I got to pay for Uber back. Am I going to eat? I'm out. I might as well eat. And all of a sudden, like a $12, $13 movie turns into like a $60, $70 night. And it's like, nah, I'm good. I'll just stay home. But I got the car now. So I'm like, man, I'm going to take myself to a movie for the first time. And so I went to see that Thor, Love and Thunder. And I'm going to the MCU movie, you know, about fictional superheroes. And you know, they try to make these Thor movies like super comedic and funny now. And it's nothing about this movie that's saying I'm going to go in here and I'm going to shed a tear. Like, it's nothing about it. And nobody in that theater is of that ilk. You know what I mean? Like, I think I'm sitting next to like some hipster dudes or some teenagers. And yeah, I mean, you know, and I'm not, no spoilers, but there's a moment in the movie. And like, I'm sitting there and they welling up. And I'm like, come on. So I can't, like, I got my glasses on so I can see the screen. I'm that old. And it's like, I can't let these kids know that I'm in here crying, or like, I can't even take my, I'm trying to figure out how I can wipe these tears away so I can see the rest of the movie. I didn't feel good at all. And it's all Elise's fault. Man, that's the Chef Elise report. Anyway.
Out of Pepe.
Yeah, I am. Last but not least, I guess this is Chef Elise adjacent too, but what I'm drinking tonight, I'm doing a tea called Neon Forest, and this is another August Uncommon tea, Neon Forest. So if you from my generation, you probably grew up where your parents like would randomly get you Dimetapp even though you wasn't sick, because they were just tired of talking to you. And I'm trying not to do that. But I'm not against like chemical warfare. So I have been like, you know, giving Elise teas and stuff. And so I found this one. Neon Forest is a sweet woodruff chamomile green tea. And it tastes like bubblegum. So I'm like, this is the one. Like, I can give her this chamomile tea, tastes like bubblegum. She's going to want to drink it. I don't have to feel like I'm giving her like melatonin or Dimetapp or Benadryl or something to put her to sleep. It's tea, you know, it's calming and relaxing, but it might do the job. And I like it. Sorry. Yeah, I do like it. I don't necessarily think it tastes, I can understand why someone would interpret that as bubblegum. I like the fruity green tea-y kind of teas. And so this one is right up my alley. So it says it tastes like bubblegum, clover, wild strawberry, and lemon. It feels like exploring a magical forest. And that is not a good sales pitch for me, but that's going to be an amazing sales pitch for Chef Elise. So I'm going to let y'all know how it works. We're going to try out this Neon Forest with Chef Elise around bedtime next week, and I'll report back. Hold on. But that's what I'm sipping. That sounded like that's going to be super loud. My bad. I apologize. But what I wanted to talk about, I'm always searching for like a topic. And I heard that Dave Chappelle had a new special out, and he's always, his last couple of specials have been something to talk about. And this one was, I think I saw like a early review, or just somebody made one comment about it, and I was like, okay, now I gotta go watch this. And so I watched it yesterday, and I watched it again just a few minutes before I sat down to record. And it's taken from the speech he gave at Duke Ellington, the high school he went to in D.C., a high school for the performing arts. It's taken from a speech he gave there when they were, you know, basically dedicating this new theater to him. They wanted to name the theater after him. And I think last year, after the fallout from the closure, you know, the students at Duke Ellington were upset about, you know, his jokes and the controversy with that special. And there was a lot of arguing about whether it should even be named after him anymore. And I think after a while, you know, people started to understand his point and things calmed down. The school and the students still wanted to name the theater after him, and the school was going to go ahead with it. And then he decided He said he's not declining having the theater named after him. He's deferring it. And so instead, he wanted the name to the theater to be named the Theater for Artistic Freedom and Expression. And then, you know, this is a speech he gave revealing that new name at the school. And it was dope. It's funny. Like, Dave Chappelle is amazing in that sense. Like, he can just talk to you and be funny and be poignant and be, you know, inspirational, all those things at the same time. Like, it's, you know, he definitely has transcended comedy in my mind. He's just a personality, an interesting personality. A few things that I thought were cool. He talked about coming back to D.C. in 1987 after going to middle school in Ohio with his dad and enrolling at Eastern Senior High School, which is the high school that my mom taught at. And so, like, the first thing I did, like, I paused the thing. This was, like, 2 minutes in, like, if that. And I paused it immediately and, like, text my mom, like, man, what year did you start at Eastern? Because, you know, she's always taught at Eastern for as long as I can remember. And I was a kid in the 80s. But I just, like, 87, I just wasn't sure. And, yeah, it turns out she started, I think, in, like, in 83. And so she was there at the same time Dave Chappelle was. She didn't teach him or anything like that, but that's just cool to me. Like, my mom was a teacher at the school Dave Chappelle was at for a couple weeks before he went to, who knows how long he was there, but he eventually went to Duke Ellington to learn how to act. But yeah, more of what I took from the special and what I want to talk about in this last couple minutes is just that idea of artistic freedom and expression and how important art is. I think the comment that I heard about the special that made me want to listen to it was someone just took the snippet they took from him was, you know, Dave Chappelle calls himself a once in a lifetime talent. And that was like the headline. And it struck me that they would have pulled that as the headline because, you know, these days, like, narcissism is a buzzword. And that just rings like as cringeworthy and like as like a very narcissistic thing to say, to refer to yourself as a once in a lifetime talent. Like, yeah, it sounds a lot like Kanye constantly telling people he's a genius. I said I would never say his name on the show again, but never say never, yo. Anyway, but one, he said maybe he was a once in a lifetime talent, but he was describing some things that, you know, and what he's been able to do and talking about his accomplishments in a way that people just aren't used to hearing folks talk. Like, I know there were moments that made me uncomfortable because it's weird hearing someone talk about how great they are. But at the same time, then you start to realize that he is as great as he is because he has that unwavering belief in his talent. Like, and he talked about getting to Duke Ellington and walking into that school and feeling like he wasn't good enough to be there, you know? And so he went from a point where he didn't believe like he was good enough to exist in this environment. And now he understands just how dope and great he is. And I think a lot of that greatness comes from realizing that, like, you know, once you can learn yourself and understand yourself and be proud of who you are and be proud of your accomplishments and be proud of how dope you are and realize how dope you are, you now offer the world something that they can't get anywhere else. They can't get you from anywhere else. You are, you know, remarkably unique and necessary. Like, man, it's not narcissistic, I think, to believe that. I remember, because I'm writing a book. I've been saying I'm writing a book for like 3 years, and I am. I'm like 60,000 words in, but I don't feel like I'm anywhere near finished. But I remember telling a friend that I was writing the book, and like without missing a beat, like the first thing he said was, man, that's pretty narcissistic. And it fucked with me. Like, it really messed me up. Like, first I had to go look up what narcissism was. And then once I did that, like, I was very early in my, like, recovery. and like fresh out of rehab. I think I started writing the book in rehab. And, you know, so you're doing all of these inventories and looking at yourself and your negative traits and the things that are wrong with you and trying to fix them. I hate to say things that are wrong with you, but you know what I mean? And so, yeah, I went through this whole thing. Like, am I a narcissist? Am I a narcissist? Is that what has destroyed these relationships? Is that what has led me, you know, to this place? And now I'm at a place where I feel like we throw the word around incorrectly. Like, it's like the way people talk about anxiety. Anxiety, you know, is a natural thing. It's a natural human thing. I remember getting in an argument with somebody because they were like, everybody talking about anxiety. Man, everybody has anxiety, you know, like almost like on a get over it kind of level. And I'm saying there's a difference between anxiety and anxiety disorder. There's a difference between narcissism and narcissistic personality disorder. Those are two different things. One is a normal human trait, a thing that we all have. And one is that to the extreme, to an uncontrollable level, to a level where your life starts to become, hate to use this term, but unmanageable. but some people will get that. But, you know, I think we all need to have a little bit of narcissism, and it's deserved narcissism because, like I say, we made the universe conspired to create you individually, you. Like when you think about all the chance encounters and all the things that had to go exactly the way that they went just for your grandparents to meet, you know, and then your parents to meet and then them to create you, or everything that had to happen throughout the course of history of the universe, all the particles that had to be in the exact right spot just to create this moment now, or just to create you and me. And, you know, it's not happenstance. Like, you know, I said the universe conspired to create you, and you're necessary. You know, you're necessary. Every moment in history that led up to this moment was necessary for this moment to exist. You are necessary for the future to exist in the way that it's supposed to. And it will, because you're here, because of I'm here. And we're doing, you know, whatever it is we're doing. I think, you know, Dave Chappelle says he's a once-in-a-lifetime talent. I think everybody is a once-in-a-lifetime talent. There's only ever going to be one of you. And there's something that you can do differently or better, for lack of a better word, than anybody else in the history of the universe. There's a thing. And I think, you know, for Dave Chappelle, like, he found it early. He talks about going to comedy clubs and stuff, you know, as a freshman in high school. So he kind of knew what he wanted to do. And he's reached a point where he understands, like, his dopeness and his greatness in that thing that's for him. And now he understands that he's a once in a lifetime talent, and that plays into, you know, how great he actually is. If we all could, you know, find that thing. My sister and I had a dope conversation. I was home about, you know, just how like adulthood takes some of that stuff away from us. Like if you could strip your life down to just, like, what made you happy as a kid? What was the thing that you liked doing as a kid before you had to learn how to survive, before you had to figure out how to pay bills, before you had to, you know, before you had responsibilities and things that you had to do? What was the thing that you wanted to do? And it's crazy because when we were having that conversation, I remember her and I used to sit. We had a Fisher-Price tape recorder, and we used to sit and record, like, radio shows. Like, we would pretend we were doing game shows and the news and Jeopardy, and we would record this stuff like we were the host and stuff like that. I've been doing this since I was a little kid, and I lost it, and now I'm coming back to it. I'm not saying that I'm a once-in-a-lifetime talent or I'm great in any kind of way. I just told you that shit is cringeworthy to me. But I don't know, I believe there's something here, and I'm trying it out. I hope for everybody that they just get a moment to go back and find that thing and fuck with it. I'm getting super emotional again. Thinking about my daughter. I want her to find that thing. Like, I'm real big on just, like, let's try everything or whatever you want to do. You want to play soccer? Let's do it. You want to bake? Let's do it. You want to be a princess? Let's do it. Whatever it is, let's do it. And let's find that thing. And if next week you don't want to do it, that's cool. But let's find that thing. And the other thing I think I pulled from it, because I saw this as a quote not too long ago, is like, people got to stop. I know when I was growing up, like being an artist, because everybody, if you wanted to be a rapper, a musician, if you wanted to be whatever kind of artist, like there was this idea that it wasn't a real job. Like that wasn't real life. Like that was a luxury. A few once in a lifetime talents, you know, were able to afford going out and trying to do those things and doing those things. But it wasn't for everybody because it wasn't real. They made it feel unattainable. It's like you can't spend your life talking about how art or being an artist isn't a real job. And at the same time, spend the majority of your life consuming it. You know, we sit around and watch TV, listen to music, go to movies, look at paintings, buy clothes, you know, admire cars. And all of these things are art. Somebody designed that. Some artistic mind designed that. Some creative mind came up with that drama. Somebody came up with the idea for these Real Housewives of whatever P-Valley that everybody's talking about. Like, that's art. And so you have somebody that's interested in being an artist. Like, they're contributing to 99% of the enjoyment that you get out of life. Or you spend almost all your day consuming some form of art. You listen to podcasts while you work, or music while you work out, or whatever. So stop. And just embrace the once in a lifetime talent in all of us. I ain't mean for this to turn into some sort of like motivational speech, but fuck it, it is what it is. Fuck it though, you know. But that's it. That's all. Like, I listen to that Dave Chappelle. I enjoy Dave Chappelle because I always get something like this out of it. Something much more than just like comedy. And I laughed and it's funny. And if you want to laugh, check it out. If you're from the DC area, you'll probably take some stuff from it. The other people may not. And I don't know. It's dope. Dave's dope. I'm dope. You dope. We dope. Whatever. Let's just be dope to each other together. Off my soapbox. Usual shit. My homie Zaya Fitness, hit him up, livealphafitness.com. If you're looking to get your nutrition and your fitness goals ready, I know the summer is already here, but it's never too late. Hit him up, livealphafitness.com. Zaya Fitness, that's my homie. He gets you right. I got the merch at the whatistws.com merch store. Please check it out. I think I promise you, the Don't Thank Me, Thank God shirt is about to be in the store. Hello, hello, loads of jello. I got all of them. I think they're dope. And I'll probably wear one of my shirts like every day that I don't have to have a button up on for work or something like that. So check out the store. Coupon code algorithm will get you 20% off your entire order. So, you know, celebrate the summer of the algorithm. Get you some merch at the whatistws.com merch store. And then, you know, I always do, you know, I deal with recovery and, you know, I've been alcohol free for the last 3 years, 3.5 years. And one of the things that has helped me is Hoplark beverages. Their tagline, the best way to NA. They're like craft beverages made with hops, but absolutely no fermentation, absolutely no alcohol. So you can still get that like craft beer experience from something that is in no way a beer. So yeah, check them out. You can get 15% off your first order from Hoplark if you go to whatistws.com/hops. So you can thank me later. But anyway, with that being said, I appreciate y'all hanging out with me. Hopefully this has, you know, been beneficial in some way. I feel better. I'm going to sleep good tonight. But until we speak again, y'all be safe, y'all be easy, and y'all be the light. And know this, if you know nothing else, I love you. Allah.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last hurrah, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. I gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then.
guys later. Love.